You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And it is Friday. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So if you listen to the radio program on a frequent basis, you know how excited I get for Fridays. Fridays are my day off, and I really thoroughly enjoy getting a little bit of reprieve. But I also preached a message here a few weeks ago titled Divine Rest. You can find it on our Facebook page for a couple of more weeks. Facebook deletes those after 30 days. And you can also find that on our YouTube channel if you're interested in that. But in that, I shared that God gives us divine rest so that we will, because we need it. He set the example for it. It's his gift to us, and it's also a commandment. And if we are striving to honor the commandments that God has given to us, we also need to recognize, hey, he knows how important rest is. And when I work, I really work. When I rest, I really rest. And when my wife and I went on vacation, it was the first time in a long time we had gone someplace without visiting family or without some sort of work that we were going to be doing for someplace for somebody. And we had a marvelous, marvelous time. And so we'd like to invite you out to Merritt Assembly of God. If you have been working hard and it seems like there's not enough of you to go around, I want to encourage you to honor the Lord with his day and rest in him, because he can do more with us honoring him that we can do without honoring him. So Sunday morning, we have Sunday school at 9:30. We have worship at 10:30. Those are two different messages. We have been teaching the book of Acts, and we'll be moving on from that, having just finished that. And so this week will be a brand new topic. And then we have praise and worship. We pray. We're praying for God's presence to become radically known in our lives and through our community. We exist as a church to be a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing, to be a blessing to God, to be a blessing to our family, to be a blessing to the church and to the community, to be a blessing spiritually and relationally and however else that we can be a blessing. And so we'd like to invite you out to come and be a part of that. I want to take you to Psalm 50 today. This is a psalm of Asaph. And I'm going to read all the way from verse number 7 to verse number 23. Now, I'm not going to do a verse-by-verse breakdown of all of this. I'm just reading this for context. And then about verse number 16, we're going to start looking at that passage. It says in verse number 7 of Psalm 50, "Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I will not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your offerings, which are continually before me. I will not take a bull from your house, nor goats out of your fold, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine in all its fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. So let me just stop right there for just a moment. That's Psalm 50, verses 7 through 15. There's a very familiar, by the way, this is something that God is saying to his covenant people. And just because we're in covenant with him does not mean that we are perfect yet. There's still forming and fashioning and correcting that God is doing in me, in Merit Assembly of God, in your life, in my life. As long as we're breathing, there's still a transformation that God wants to do in us to make us more like Jesus. And so he talks to them about their sacrificial giving, their offerings to him, and then a verse that is quoted pretty frequently, but never really brought out, or not frequently brought out in context, is, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills." What God is saying is, when I command you to bring an offering, it's not because I need it. I own everything. Giving is not for God. Giving is a godly characteristic. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Giving is part of God's nature, and giving is us becoming more like God. He says, "I own everything already." And so when we are praying, I remember there was a president of a Bible college, and he prayed this verse, and he said, "God, it says you own the cattle on a thousand hills. We need some of those cattle." He was pastoring a Bible college. They had hit an economic crisis, and I don't remember exactly what the solution was, but God miraculously came through and provided, and I believe it even involved cattle, if I'm not mistaken. I think I remember Dr. Barnhouse sharing that story on his radio program here on WMIE many, many years ago. He says, "I know all the birds of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine." Everything belongs to God. So, it's not like God is wringing his hands and saying, "Man, I hope they give in the way that I want them to give. If not, how am I ever going to pay my bills this week?" That's not the nature of God. He says, "I don't have a crisis that I need you to supply the resources so I can get through this crisis as God." No, he's looking for us to honor him, not just spiritually, but tangibly as well. If you aren't giving to God, you are not harming the kingdom of God. You're actually harming your own financial health. And so when you recognize that God sets us up for success, and when he asks us to give, it is going to work out in a beneficial manner, not just for God's kingdom, but for ours. So if you are wanting giving to flow through a conduit, and one conduit gets plugged up and ceases to flow, you're going to stop pouring through that conduit, and you're going to find a conduit that is open and useful for what you want. And so you're going to have more resources. You're going to enlarge that conduit. And so I can tell you that Merit Assembly of God through the years has been faithful to give to global missions, national missions here in Brevard County. And because of that, the funnel that God has used has increased and increased, and we're praying that it continues to increase. The amount of giving that has come in missions this year is on record pace. Some of that, a large degree of that, is in thanks to people who listen to the Refresh Radio program and have actively supported it. This, you know, historically, this has been a part of our resources that we pour out. But this year, God has blessed the giving, and we are thankful for those. They don't give for notoriety, but I know who they are. God knows who they are, and we pray God's richest blessings on them. They believe in the ministry of the Refresh Radio program and don't just give words of encouragement, but they've actually been tangible blessings, and we are very, very thankful for that. And so our missions giving, even other giving on the church, is I believe it's on a record pace for ours. And you know, people that say, oh, all churches, all they are is they want your money. No, that's not the case. God doesn't need it. God provides that as a pathway to blessing in your life and my life. Verse number 12 says, if I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all its fullness. It says in verse 14, offer to God thanksgiving, pay your vows to the Most High, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. So when we are living a life of obedience, we live a life of thanksgiving, we can call upon God in times of trouble, and he says, I will deliver you and you will glorify me. When I have a need, I just don't want my need met because it'll make me feel better. I want the needs met so that it brings God glory. And if I hear a testimony, I'm going to share that because I want to build up other people's faith. So here, a couple of weeks ago, we had a need that was presented. It was for a family member. Come to find out, he's an Assemblies of God pastor. I didn't know that at the time that I was praying. But needed a miracle in his body. And the family was making plans to travel in case, you know, his promotion into the presence of God was at hand. And we prayed on Sunday, and on Monday I got a message that said God had miraculously touched him and he was doing very, very well. In fact, it said he was doing 100% better. And so we're thankful that we can call upon God and that God will deliver us, and we're not going to withhold praise. Now, so these verses 7 through 15, those are delivered to God's covenant people, but the recipients of the next statement are not going to be godly. They are classified as the wicked, morally bad, morally evil, or morally wicked. Okay? And so wickedness is not something to be celebrated. Wickedness is not something to aspire to. Wickedness is not something that is defined by the way that we feel. It is defined by God, and it is a morally inadequate lifestyle. It will give you bad fruit. It will cause you to be displeasing to God. It leads to a condition of woe, W-O-E, that we should woe, W-O-A-H. We should stop that. It's a destructive and undesirable way to live. So I want to tell you this, that the Lord is our shepherd, and the shepherd treats sheep differently than he treats wolves. The sheep find tremendous comfort in the presence of the shepherd. The threats to the sheep find the presence of the shepherd intimidating. that staff, that rod that bring comfort to the sheep, bring pain to wolves. So God has something to say to the wicked. It's verse number 16. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to declare my statutes or take my covenant in your mouth, seeing you hate instruction and cast my words behind you? When you saw a thief, you consented with him and have been a partaker with adulterers. You give your mouth to evil and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I kept silent. You thought I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. Do you realize that God in his mercy directs specific guidance and correction to people who have rejected his offer of covenant relationship and righteousness and righteous living? It's his mercy that extends this offer. He's not looking to do them harm. He's looking for them to repent. So everything in this is God declaring the condition to the person, to the people. And then at the end, he says, now consider this. And he tells them, look, I will show the salvation of God. So we don't just pray for godly people to become more godly. We pray for ungodly people to become godly. So here's the first thing that God says to the wicked. What right have you to declare my statutes or take my covenant in your mouth? Whoa. Okay. People who are not in a morally healthy place with God, God says basically this: how dare you take my statutes and my commands and claim my covenant in your mouth? I mean, that is straightforward. That is straight to the heart of the matter. It is very blunt. It's not that God doesn't want his covenant to be manifest in their lives, but their condition of moral disobedience and rebellion disqualifies them from the benefits of covenant. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for covenant. I'm thankful that God has benefits. I think God, that because of his covenant, we have hope and a future and can understand the plans and the purposes of God. I'm thankful for covenant. It's not something to be run away from. It's something to be embraced. I'm thankful that my wife takes my covenant with her just as serious as I take it with her. She takes the covenant with me just as serious as I take the covenant with her. And that's what God wants. God wants us walking in divine provision. We need God every single solitary day. You need God. I need God. We don't just need him to get saved. We need him every single solitary day. I remember hearing a story about a godly preacher who was walking down the street, and God said, you need me. And the preacher said, God, I know you. I know that I need you. And about that time, he stumbled, he tripped, and he fell. And God said, you need to understand, you cannot even walk down the sidewalk without me. You need me for every breath. You need me for the ability to think and the ability to walk. And sometimes we need those words, those direct words that come from God to remind us. We didn't just need God for salvation, for his saving grace. We need God for his sustaining grace. And he says, the reason that you don't have the right to declare my statutes or take my covenant in my mouth is because you hate instruction. There was this person that I knew. He's not the only person that's ever been like this, but he was good at giving other people instructions. He was really not good at receiving instructions from anybody else. And I want you to know that the only way that we can be an adequate teacher of the things of God is if we remain teachable about the things of God. I've never yet met a person with perfect expertise in the things of God. I've been pastoring at Merit Assembly of God for almost 33 years, and I'm still learning things. And part of that learning process isn't coming from times where I'm saying, okay, God, I'm going to sit here until you teach me anything. No, it's as I'm walking throughout the day, as I'm journeying through my responsibilities, God continues to open my eyes to new and wonderful things. So out of my storehouse of treasure, I bring some things that I learned a long time ago, and I bring some things that I'm learning in 2025. But if we hate instruction, if we ever get to that place where we think we know it all, then we're going to find ourselves living beneath God's best because we have rejected his commands and we're not walking in covenant with him. Don't think that you are going to walk in covenant with him for eternity when you're not walking with him in covenant now, according to the terms he sets. So we need to realize that our life as believers is only made possible because God sets the terms. We don't set the terms. It's not that God wants to fight against us. He wants to fight for us. He wants to see the very best come our way. He said, seeing you hate instruction and cast my words behind you. Now, let me look over just a second here and see if I can find a passage. If not, I'll just have to go Amy Grant on us here today, and that could be bad for all of us. I talked about singing yesterday, and I'm not really up to that. But the word says that his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. I'm not finding the exact reference right now. I think that's probably Psalm 119 now that I think about it. But that's 172 verses, I think, and we're not going to look through 172 verses to find the right reference. If his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, and we turn our back on the truths of God's word, we are not experiencing the benefit of his word that he wants for us by letting us see what the pathway forward looks like. Because if we turn our back on the lamp, we're not going to have the benefit. We provide our own shadow in that case. We take God's illuminating blessing to his word and to his direction, and we say, I don't need that. Well, I can tell you that in our house, there's a little bit of a struggle that goes on. My wife's got some sensitivities in her face that make her prefer a less illumined area than what I like. Now, I think I've told this story before. Because I was eating in a dimly lit restaurant, I used sour cream instead of butter on a bread one time, and I didn't like sour cream. And I was like, that's it. I don't ever want to eat in a dimly lit environment again. I've also, we had a very black dog one time named Shadow, and I was walking through our living room and stumbled over Shadow, couldn't see him. He was moving. He was trying to get away from me and kept going the direction that I was stumbling and falling. And so I like the benefits of light. It causes me less pain. Very rarely do I know what is in front of me and injure myself. Many of the times that if I'm going to get injured, it's going to be because I don't properly understand the obstacles that lay between me and my desired destination because I'm not availing myself of the light. And so don't cast God's words behind you. Set it up before you and let it point you in the way that you should go. And let me close by saying this today. This is free. The most important things that we have in this life, the first most important thing is our relationship with God. The second most important thing is our relationships that we have with family and with other people. And there are a lot of people who are trying to establish relationships void of the input of God's word, trying to make one of life's most important decisions without godly insight. Let's reverse the equation. Let's bring God's word into it and let him develop godly relationships in us. We'd love to have a relationship with you at Merit Assembly of God. Hopefully we'll see you Sunday, but if not, we'll be here Monday on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.